Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
We've got the show's namesake, BJ Shea.
It's good to be here, Pippa.
And running the boards is Joey Deez.
Hi.
On today's show, we will get some board game reviews from BJ. We will talk television with Stranger Things and maybe more. And of course, we'll get to the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
With our website, bjgeeknation.com. Yay! It's going to have our blogs, info, and more. Or just BJ Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, radio.com, and iTunes. Mm-hmm. If you want to listen and or check out memes.
Yeah.
So that's what I post a lot of.
A lot of memes. You have so many. You have like 800 different like meme factories that you go to.
I like a lot of meme pages, so I'm constantly just flooded
she
with different memes.
She also makes her own meme. She's out of her mind.
Oh, yeah. No,
meme queen.
I was doing that the other day for funsies. Like, I want to start a whole thing of like stuff that's said during, out of context, during board games in general.
Oh, no.
So if you have any fun
board
ones,
game quotes,
let me know and I will meme it for you and post it on our site.
I love it. Well, you just did mention board games, and I know BJ.
Yes?
I've heard. There's a dirty rumor that you may or may not be playing board games when you aren't in the studio doing
it's
podcasting.
Very, very possible. One of the first games I'd like to talk about is one that I think, before I even talk about anything, I want to thank Meeple Bunker for correcting me because we
Meeple Bunker.
Yeah, because I talked about the Star Wars Outer Rim game, and I said that Fantasy Flight, who makes that game, also made Firefly, which is not true.
Oh.
Gale Force 9 makes it, and I'm a tool shed and three quarters Meeple Bunker corrected me.
Well, thank you from the corrections department.
Thank you, Meeple. Thank you, Meeple B, because, you know, I mean, Gale Force 9, they make some good games.
Yeah,
like,
they do.
Like Star Trek Ascendancy, like the Doctor Who game. So, got to give them credit where credit's due.
Perfect.
But we're going to talk about a game that I believe Joey Deez has played along with me. It's the brand new Tiny Epic game from Scott Alms and the games guys at Gameland. Tiny Epic Max.
Ooh.
I yeah, and I when I saw this on Kickstarter, I'm like, I'm not a mech guy. I know a lot of people love mechs, but I'm
like BattleTech and stuff like that.
It
back
also
in the day.
Was a programming game, very much like Robo Rally, Colt Express, Helios Expansion. Those are games where you basically have to you have to program all your moves out. You don't get to take an action, then another person takes an action. You have to pick every move that you can make in that turn, and then program it while everybody's programming their moves, and
then hope nothing goes haywire.
Yes. and so I was like, I don't think I'm going to back this game. Luckily, my good friends at Zulu's Board Game Cafe, they back a lot of Kickstarters as a retail company, and when I played it one time, I was like, I need to buy this after all, and so I bought one of their copies that they backed on Kickstarter. It is a good game. Joe, what are you thinking of the good old Tiny Epic Mechs? Is it's the year 3030, and humankind and mechs are together?
My favorite part about it is that the complexity you get from such a small box. Because there's really a lot of thinking, because there's ways you can redo your turn and reset your movement, and you really have to pay attention to all the other players, because everyone gets four moves, so if you don't like think about how many spaces they're going to go and then attack you, and then you lose your mech, and you're like, oh no, and then if you do one thing wrong, you do your whole turn wrong, because it's all already preset, and it's crazy, but it's a lot of fun and difficult.
Scott Alms does a great job of putting an amazing game in a very small box, and basically, the game board is made out of cards that you just will assemble into a big game board sized area, but they're all, you know, these little cards that just connect to each other. That creates the game board. The meeples are awesome. They're very similar to the meeples that were introduced in Tiny Epic Quest, which where basically you can equip them with.
Super cool when we played that. You put a little sword and shield on your little guys.
So instead of swords and shields, we've got rocket launchers, grenade launchers,
Whoa.
And flamethrowers.
Nice.
Nice.
And also, you can take your meeple and put it in a power suit, which is pretty wild. And then you can take your meeple out of the power suit and put it in a giant mech that you can control in the game.
Of course. Well, you better be able to.
You have weapons, and the weapons interact with each other in a fun way. They do damage, but there's also a rock, paper, scissors mechanic that if somebody attacks you with a particular weapon, if you have the right response weapon, you can counter their attack and even do more damage than that weapon normally could do because of how you were attacked in the first place.
Wow.
It's a very simple, easy mechanic, but like Joey said, the complexity of the game is that, all right, what do I want to do moving around, you know, collecting my resources? There's also a point in the game where you can actually get knocked on your butt, and therefore you get to go in what's called ad hoc mode, which is what I like about this game. In other games, when you get knocked on your butt and your whole turn goes awry, we played enough Robo Rally to go, and there I go, off the game board.
Yep.
This game says when you get knocked off a space that you thought you were going to be on, you basically get the advantage of going into pick your own card mode, including cards that you've already played, which usually you can't do. So sometimes you may want to lose a battle because then you'll be able to do whatever you damn well please, which could be to your advantage, which we started realizing maybe after a couple of plays of this game that it's, you know, the bad thing you think could happen to you may not be so bad after all.
May not be the worst thing. Okay.
Yeah, BJ did that. I mean, did that to me when he was in the power mech, and it was brutal because I like barely won a battle, and then he just got to go back and redo his whole turn, and I'm like, well, this is awkward. I will, I guess, move this way, and he's like, I'll kill your mech, and I'm like, no!
Yeah, it's a really fun game, and the game is like, I don't know, like $30 maybe at most, depending, it might be a little cheaper somewhere else. I see it here, $20 in some places for Vipria, but yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a fun, tiny, epic game, and that's
what I'm going to say, like, the tiny, epic games, one of the beauties of these is that they're small pieces that you can, the portability is pretty amazing.
Oh, the portability is nuts, but if you played, I mean, I could see me playing Tiny Epic Quest, Tiny Epic Galaxies, and Tiny Epic Mechs, and go, you know what, this is a great game night.
You've got a tiny epic night.
Yeah, you've done, I mean, and you've played games that are rich. It's not just a cheesy game because it's small. It's rich, and you know what, man? I mean, I got to give him a lot of credit. He's a good designer, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, I imagine, like, breaking this thing out, like, I don't know why I thought of this, but I was like, all right, if I'm at Pizza Hut and I'm waiting for my pizza to come and I don't have a game, I can bring this game in my pocket,
Pizza Hut,
take it out, and then put the whole board out and play before the pizza gets there, probably finish a game before the pizza's done, and then I'm good, and then pack it all back up. I don't know why I thought that, but I'm like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect game to play while waiting for your pizza. They should just put that right on the box.
So again, Tiny Epic Mechs, and your friendly local game store may have it, because again, some of the game stores just, they know the Tiny Epic line, so they immediately will back the Kickstarter on the retail level, so you may be able to get this now somewhere, no doubt about it.
Nice. You got another board game that you want to talk about?
As a matter of fact, I will. It's another Kickstarter that I just got recently.
Of course.
From the guys that brought you Star Realms and Hero Realms. The good folks at White Wizard Games, and this is called Sorcerer. And Sorcerer is, you know, it is very close to what Magic the Gathering is, the way this game plays as far as how the cards can do different things. It also has elements of Smash Up, because you will have three different decks that you will put together and
love Smash Up.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is, think of Magic the Gathering Smash Up, where it really does have a lot of interaction. In this game, though, you are competing for domains. There are three domains in the game. The person that can win two out of three domains wins the game, and you're basically putting creatures down, and you have your own avatar, and when you pick your deck, you'll pick three distinct different decks. One's your character deck, one's a domain or a location deck, and the other one would be it's sort of like your intricate your quality. I forget the name of it, but it's basically, it's like, are you a vampire or are you going to be a legion?
Oh, like your archetype sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And so you have these three, and they all come with three cards that you put out in front of you that stay in front of you, and they're basically permanents, and they will affect the land, if you will, or the domain that your avatar is in, your little standee.
Okay.
So you got to be careful where you put your standee, because that's the only place those cards will affect. But the artwork is beautiful. And in this game, when you put your creatures down, they have a power and they have a toughness, if you will.
Okay.
The toughness is easy. Once you assign damage, boom. But the power just shows how much dice you roll. And the dice will either have skulls, which are hits. They will have pentagrams, which are hits where you, the attacker, decide where the damage goes. This is the funny thing, the fun thing about this game. The hits don't get assigned by the attacker. The hits get assigned by the defender of the domain. So if you are at the domain and you're defending this domain, you, and it's a two-player game, it can be played multiplayer.
Okay, but I was about to ask that.
I think it's best as a two-player, to be honest with you. So if you're defending the domain, basically you go, you know, I've got my guys here. Sometimes you'll put guys down not to try to claim the domain, just to protect the domain, and they will take the hits for you. If you don't, what happens is all those hits get assigned to the domain. The domain, I think, goes up to 12 hits before it's taken over, and it's best 2 out of 3 wins.
Okay, yeah,
so
yeah.
That's how you win the game. You're not trying to take life away from the your opponent or their avatar. You never lose those.
It's mixing, like you said, like Smash Up, Magic the Gathering with an area control type game.
And the artwork is gorgeous. That's the thing that stands out in this game, the component quality of the artwork. Even the standees, which their standees still look gorgeous. This is a beautiful looking game with some great complexity. I'm already told that they're working on expansions so that they just will add more varieties to the decks of cards you can play. And this, it's a good one, man. And I don't know if you can get it. I had to pre-order mine, but if you go to White Wizard Games, or maybe you can see if your FLGS has it, It's a pretty, pretty game. Plays it best with two-player, but you can do multi if you want to. And there's some versions online where people said, we think if you add these rules, it'll even play better. It's not in the main game. It's basically some house rulings some other folks did.
Yeah.
Because it got a little sloggy as we play with more than two players. But as a two-player game, it's like, okay. And again, what really makes this game stand out is you look at the artwork and you go, this is the most gorgeous art I've seen in a card game in a long time.
Nice.
So that's another reason why you want to play Sorcerer by White Wizard Games.
Nice. Thank you so much. We need to move on from that, and we need to talk about Stranger Things, because, well, we said that we were going to on Friday's episode.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Now, the problem with something like Stranger Things is that it has been, I think, 11 days since it dropped. It dropped on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
I am 3/4 of the way through. I'm through episode 6.
And there's 8.
Yeah. And there's 8. There's only 8, which is kind of nice.
You've tripled me, buddy.
So you're at, what, episode 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was going to go faster until my daughter reminded me that we used to watch it together, and she was so mad I watched the first 2 without her. I forgot.
Oh,
we watch the show together? Oh, sure. But
there's a great,
it's like, well, if you're not going to make time to watch the show, then I'm watching it, because spoilers are starting to... I'm glad I binged it, because I'm seeing the spoilers.
I was trying to look up a little bit of information.
Nope.
I can't look up anything.
And that's the problem with some of these articles. Like, for example, Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
They would say something like, let's talk about the ending of Game of Thrones. And then there's a picture of a certain character.
Yeah.
And you're like, so that basically tells me something happens to this character.
Yeah.
And so I did that. I made the mistake of, like, I was looking for information on just, like, one of the characters or the actors. And then I saw something like that. And I was just like, it didn't mean anything like that. But it basically, just because of the title and the picture, I'm like, oh, so
of course
something like this happens, or it goes down this path instead.
Like, we're all nerds. We can suss out things, and we're paying attention. I mean, the fact that we're watching a lot of these shows just for the Easter egg sometimes really means that we're paying attention. So when we see an article on these,
So do you want to give it? If you want to do
spoiler,
you're gonna do okay.
Absolutely non-spoiler. It's just gonna be our reaction so far, and we'll get into it a little bit deeper, a little bit later.
Hopefully, I'll watch it all. Otherwise, I'll have to leave the room.
Joe, how much have you watched of it?
About 3 or 4 episodes.
Okay, and I know Vicky binged it in like a day, because that's what she does.
2 days.
Oh, you actually took 2 whole days? Congratulations.
So, because it got scary, I had to stop. It's funny, I got the text conversation I had with him the other night.
Well, that was the thing. I sent her a message. I just finished episode 6, and I was just like, Vicky, you can't handle scary movies. And there are some legitimate scary parts in this show.
That's true.
How are you not crapping your pants?
It's like, I am.
And she was like, I am. And I was like, how do you even deal with it? She was like, what, Family Guy afterwards?
I watched Family Guy afterwards. I'm like, okay, I'll finish this tomorrow when it's light out, because I think I started binging it late, and it was like midnight.
It is so funny. You should really be my wife's kid, because that's exactly how my wife is. It's hysterical. We have to watch a light show after any kind of scary show for that reason.
It's actually, and it's not even, yes, I am a chicken, but for me, I'm really good at doing that thing where you can kind of make yourself dream whatever you want.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was it lucid dreaming?
Yeah.
So whatever I am thinking about right before I go to sleep is what I will dream about, whether I want to or not. So that's why.
Oh, I wish I had that because I would think about, like, oh, treats.
See, that,
oh,
that
desserts.
See, that's sometimes the problem is that, yeah, you might be able to do that, but then it's like someone like me who is listening to The Shining on audiobook and then watching Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then also reading Vampire the Masquerade books.
Happy dream.
See, I'm not having some great dreams in the last couple weeks.
Right after Stranger Things, I'm like, well, I should probably get back because they're talking about how Jensen Ackles from Supernatural, he's going to be directing, I think, if not all of it, but a good chunk of the last season.
Oh. Is season four the last one?
No, for Supernatural.
Oh, Supernatural.
I think it's like 10.
Oh, you're on Supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
So I started like, okay, well, I need to hurry up. I'm on season five now and out of like 10 or 11 or something.
Yeah, a lot
I don't
of
know.
Them.
There's a lot of seasons.
And there's
show.
A lot of episodes per season. So I'm trudging along. So after watching Stranger Things, I'm watching Supernatural, which is just not as bad, but some of the scenes I'm just like, ah, crap.
Yeah, and now you need to watch some like little kid shows or something.
Right. But I had a dream, like one of the characters gets electrocuted by lightning and jumps out of his shoes. And I had a dream where I was watching the lightning coming by and it hits me and I could feel the shock.
Oh, man.
Because I recently got shocked when I was doing stuff home at repairs. So I felt the shock. I was like, ah!
Oh, it's coming true.
It hurt.
It's coming true. They're coming.
So having seen the various episodes that we have all seen, what are you guys' thoughts so far about it? I'm really enjoying it. I'm thinking it's a lot of fun. One thing that I've found that is fantastic, and even my wife said this, is that the pacing for these episodes is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it's very well done.
It really
not
is.
Not too
through
slow,
the stuff.
Not too fast.
Exactly. Just right.
Yeah, and I love just the subtle things, you know. I really, seeing Nancy Wheeler trying to make her way in a man's world. And,
in the 80s.
And Jake Busey, which, you know, it really is. I mean, we got to see,
love Jake Busey,
you know, Peggy, and of course, Elizabeth Moss's character in Mad Men.
Yeah.
And what she tried to do, and I remember, was it Billy? I forget the character's name. But one of the characters in Mad Men said, you know what, in 20 years you're going to be amazing, and it's like that would be the 80s.
and then Nancy's in the 80s and they're like, and someday you'll be amazing.
Yeah,
and you're like, well, maybe in 20 years
it's still there, even though that they all should be listening to Nancy Wheeler, because not only, I mean, when it comes to like S going down in that town, which
she's
we know
a smart cookie.
I mean, she, come on, S has gone down in that town and she's been in the thick of it twice.
Yeah,
somebody listen to Nancy Wheeler, please.
And definitely the first episode is very lighthearted and it's fun. You kind of get a recap of what was going on.
Yeah.
You get reintroduced to the characters and how they are now that they're older. And I just thought it was so much fun.
Poor Will Byers. This poor kid, all he wants to do is just go to the theater and watch a movie.
He just wants to go play D&D with his friends.
I want to play Dungeons and Dragons.
And listen, when Will Byers tells you nothing's wrong when he looks like he's freaking out, are you not going to say, sorry, Will, we don't believe you?
Well, here's the problem. He always looks like he's freaking out.
He does.
It's that hair doesn't help.
Oh my God, that hair.
Will, like, cut your hair.
He's got the worst hair I've ever seen, but it was also the 80s, so I understand.
And looks, I mean, it's so great, that casting. He looks like he could be Winona Ryder's kid. They just look
they look the same
and they're freaking out.
That was, and then like the older brother, they all three of them.
Yeah, you're right.
Look, like the casting in this show
Charlie Heaton.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
One of the things I read in an article, and I think they said that we finally got some real good female characters. And I'm like, and they were complaining about all that kind of other stuff. Like, they made Winona Ryder's character Joy, she's just the hysterical mother. It's like, okay, yes, she has her hysterics. And I feel like as each season goes on, because of that, because of everything that has happened, because of her intuition, her mother's intuition, she has discovered all these things that have made her a badass.
And this is what the 80s, look, I lived in the 80s, guys. I mean, we would like to see a lot of strong female characters in life, no doubt about it. I get that. Unfortunately, in the 80s, this is what it was. Women were just not treated the same way they are today.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's a woman that's tripping out. Why? And I love her performance because nobody's listening to her, because I think part of it is because she's a woman. I mean, I think that's what they're saying in this show. In Nancy Wheeler this season, same thing. Nobody is listening to these people because of their gender, even though they know stuff is happening.
And they're intelligent women. So for you to say they're just hysterical women, they're not doing justice to the character. I'm like, you have to dig deeper.
They are women who unfortunately are growing up. They're the adults in a time where the younger women are saying enough's enough, but they're still adults then.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that. They kind of make that the whole point of the episode that I just watched, where the young girl is telling Elle to dump, you know, what's his face for whatever reason.
That was such a great episode.
Like, yeah, and the whole idea is that they're clearly different than their parents were. And I was like, I don't know, how are people complaining about this? They're literally proving the whole point of our succession or our future that's going to happen.
One of the things that I'm not too keen on, and as I'm going through it, I'm getting a little eye-rolly, is the product placement for this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of like it.
It's getting a little ridiculous.
I want a scoop of Ahoy. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, I want the schooner.
Yeah. The SS. I do. So, by the way, Baskin Robbins has actually a lot of specials and stuff going on.
Yeah, you can get new Coke and all sorts of other crazy things.
I think it's funny because it's just like, that was the argument. Wasn't a new Coke not well received?
Oh, new Coke was a disaster.
And now it's everywhere. And they're like, this is great.
I love that there was that argument. It's like, really? You're drinking that? It felt real. Like, yeah, I know, it, like, it didn't feel like product placement. I know it very much probably was.
And
somebody
that was by design.
It,
I mean, they were like, we're going to make this a thing.
Although there's one character I did not realize who this actor was until I looked him up on IMDb.
Okay.
Who's the mayor?
Oh, yeah. The mayor is Cary Elwes.
Oh, yeah.
Princess Bride,
yeah. I probably just massacred his name.
I didn't realize that was him because I loved him in Robin Hood Men in Tights when I was a kid. And I was like, holy crap, that's him.
That's a nice 80s throwback, really.
Yeah.
It really was.
They're getting all like the 80s actors in on this, which is perfect.
So we will be talking about this a bit more spoilery as we get along. But
well,
we
maybe
want
another week or two.
Yeah, we want everyone to catch up.
I know.
I'm going to be finishing up very soon. So, Vicky, you and I can have a private chats, and we can just talk about
it. It might be so serious that we FaceTime.
Oh.
We never FaceTime. It's all messages.
And we definitely should talk it on the show. I know I won't have it done by then because my daughter is just too busy watching The Bachelor. And,
I think you should just pretend.
Well, I'm sorry for that then.
I know. It's like she's going to be with her friends. Like, well, I want to watch this, and you know, at some point, I'm going to like, I'm sorry, I'm going to leave you in the dust, girl.
Do it. Just do it. Do it. Leave her in the dust. We need to talk about Stranger Things.
Also, Jessica Jones, same deal. It's like, come on, girl, we got to get going here.
Well, for now, it is time to get to
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky, what do you got for us?
All right. I got a question for you.
Uh-oh.
So, if you guys don't know, we all are a part of an actual morning show, radio show here in Seattle.
Wait, when did that happen?
I don't know. It was magic. but one of the things that we kind of got into talking about, and it kind of sparked this this piece of information I want to give you, it was things that you regret getting rid of.
Oh,
like your nerdy things when you were younger, or just in general, but a lot of it just happened to be nerdy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talked about my Vampire the Masquerade RPG book collection, because I had very nearly every one of the original books.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where I couldn't take them with me. They were stored at my grandma's house, and then when she passed and we cleaned it all out, well, I wasn't the one who cleaned it all out, and then they were no longer there.
Oh.
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, I swore that I would never be my father, who threw away a lot of my comics, including the brand new X-Men Giant Size.
Ooh,
back when we got to meet Storm and Colossus and all that. I swore I'd never be that guy, but Joey Deez will tell you how I was that guy.
He threw away my NES.
Oh,
what? Why?
Oh, I didn't throw it away. I gave it to charity.
Why?
And my Sega.
Well,
let me just say, though, charity, she gave back.
What? Okay.
No, all of his old gaming systems, because I didn't think they'd be anything, and I was making room for the new.
And there's such a big thing now with retro gaming. People have their old collections of all the games.
Sorry, son.
It was tragic.
I'm a bad parent in Super Mario.
One of the things I regret getting rid of is Pokemon cards, because I didn't realize how popular they still are.
Dude.
Kids that are 8 years old are just as excited about Pokemon like I was when I was 8 years old.
And Vicky, you threw away bank. That's the thing.
Yeah,
Pokemon cards and old Magic cards, forget about it.
I don't even want to talk about the Magic cards, because I sold those just so...
to buy a house. No.
Well, eventually, teasing. Like the new ones, but if I would have kept the old ones that I sold back in like late 90s, early 2000s, that was literally so I was like, oh, so I can go get a burger? I would have been able to
bought a bigger house.
Yeah, I would have a little less debt with my house as opposed to
more debt.
Yeah,
yeah. I regret not getting into it. My buddy kept telling me, and I could have got into it when it was alpha. All those Black Lotus eyes and all the moxes and everything.
I have actual friends who were like, well, this game is never going to take off. So they were taking the old moxen, which are now like the alpha and beta ones, are thousands of dollars each. And they were using them to decorate their tree.
Oh, my God.
Their Christmas tree.
Oh, no.
You know, punching holes in them, putting twine on them, hanging them from the tree. They didn't care because it doesn't matter. Like, it's just a dumb cardboard game that's never going to take off.
I still wonder what a hole punch Mox would be worth. I bet it'd still be worth something.
Probably.
Well, one of the things you said while we were on a regular show is you were talking about a game called Dark Tower.
Yes.
And how you regret getting rid of it.
It was in the 90s when I got that. Joey was a little guy. I mean, I don't know if you remember playing it, Joe, but
I really don't.
Yeah, but I mean, you and I used to have a lot of fun playing it. It was like, you know, a fantasy base, and there were goblins and brigands and things, and you know, you could hear them go da da. Da, da. You know, you
that's
knew
pretty
if you
high
winning.
Tech for back in the day.
You knew if you were winning or losing a battle, and you had to, you know, you basically, like a board game, you had to get to A, B, C, get all the way across this this big landscape to get to the tower. But then it was a giant tower that was in the middle of the board, and it was made of plastic and it had flashing lights, and it was random. Each time you had a fight, you had to go and program the tower to see how your fight went.
Wow.
So I did a little digging because I think you mentioned, like, oh, I think they're bringing it back. And funny enough, Restoration Games, which we talked about on the latest episode of BJ Shea's Board Gaming Alliance, so obviously not tomorrow's episode, but last week's, about Fireball Island, that doing that, and they had the Kickstarter out, and I think it won an award this year.
Yeah, everybody was playing that game at a lot of the cons.
So after doing a little bit more digging, apparently, yes, we are in fact getting, not Dark Tower, but Return to Dark Tower.
I would almost buy it, I think, because it's nostalgic.
Yeah. And that's what they were hoping with Fireball Island, and that's why it was so powerful. So I could see them doing this with a bunch of other games.
I mean, it's in their name, Restoration Games. Like, they're getting old games and revamping them and giving them new life. And I think it's a brilliant idea. So I think I was reading that they plan to have a Kickstarter, I think, sometime this year. And it should hopefully be out next year.
My old buddy Don from Jacksonville, Florida. Don, a music teacher, and I used to play at his house. and his kids were a little too young. Joey might have been a little... We're going back to the early 90s, man. I mean, you know, 94-ish, 95-ish maybe. Oh, it was a good game.
Memories.
I can't wait for it to come out again.
I got one final question.
Okay.
Name one movie you've seen at least 5 times.
Oh, okay. That's easy.
Okay, go.
The Matrix.
Oh,
how many times would you say you've seen it?
At least 20 times.
Wow.
If not more. Oh, yeah. I love that movie. And I love all three movies because I love the story it tells.
The first, is Matrix, I love. The Matrix Reloaded, I love scenes, but I'll still watch the whole thing. Revolutions, I can't bring myself to even go back and watch.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you because, you know, you really got to buy into the Wachowskis. And when you know the journey that both of them have been on as far as how they identify now and everything, and then I've watched other stuff that they've done, including Sense8. It's a beautiful movie trilogy for the story, even though it's a bit of a mishmash. You gotta love it and gotta love them, but yeah, it could have been done better, the last two.
And here's an interesting thing about this, because I went back and recently rewatched Reloaded, because my wife had never seen it. When Neo at the very end does his thing at the monsters that were... He did the EMP zap on his own.
Yes.
I had to look it up and see what their reasoning as to why he was doing that or why he was able to do it. And essentially, they basically came out and said, he's a Wi-Fi receptor at that point, and that's why he could do that now in the real world. So it's not necessarily a Matrix on top of another Matrix on top of another Matrix that other people are trying to think about.
He really was the one of all the ones.
Yeah.
You know, and what I loved about the Matrix is that's what they planned right at the beginning, because there's that scene in the first movie which never gets explained why there are all those televisions right before he's questioned by Agent Smith.
Mm-hmm.
You never know why that happens. You go, like, who's watching those televisions? And it turns out it's the architect. We find that out in the third one.
And it's not him, it's all of the other iterations of him.
Exactly.
Which is, it's mind-blowing when you look into it a little bit deeper and you do a little bit more digging.
Yeah, that's what I love about it. I love what they tried to do. It just was a little convoluted for what we were all doing.
Exactly. Joe, what's your movie that you watch?
I'm a comedy man.
Okay.
Super Troopers, 21 Jump Street, any of those kind of movies. Superbad.
Oh, Superbad was a good one.
Yeah, I've seen those. I mean, I could probably recite most of the lines.
Hollywood Ninja was the one for me.
Beverly Hills Ninja?
Yeah.
With Chris Farley?
Oh, I love that movie so much.
I've actually seen that movie probably just as many times because I was probably around while he was watching it.
Oh, I love that movie. If that movie's on, I will always watch that, even more than Anchorman.
Wow.
I love that.
Haru!
Oh, Oh, yeah.
Main character's name. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I saw his sensei, who was always in the clouds. I saw him in an old Kung Fu episode.
Oh, nice.
And he had and he was really like battling it out with Kane, like he was one of his rivals from the temple. And it was so fun to see that dude young, but he still had that same voice. Every time he was fighting, I kept saying to my wife, all I can hear is, Haru! Haru! Like, what are you doing?
I think the one for me would be Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's got the 90s.
Such a good movie.
90s video game nostalgia. It's got slick writing. The visuals are very good, and it's one of my favorite directors of all time, Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
I can watch it. I can just put it in, watch it in the background.
That kid Edgar Wright can really make a movie.
Yeah.
He knows how to make a movie,
yeah.
That
hopefully,
kid.
Hopefully he'll get a nice career out of doing all that.
Yeah, you know, I'll give him some time.
Vicky, what is yours?
Well, I realized this when I was hanging out with all the nieces and nephews, and it's a lot of Disney movies.
Yeah. I was wondering, would it be Lilo and Stitch?
I've seen Lilo and Stitch many a times, and I will continue watching it. Emperor's New Groove, Mulan. I cried at Mulan like twice. I was like, what's wrong with me?
How do you feel about the remake? Have you seen the trailer for it?
I've seen the trailer. It looks really badass. I feel like it's going to be less singy, songy, like what the new Little Mermaid movie is going to be and what we've seen with the new Aladdin movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much going to be more of a serious fighting movie, which I think is pretty cool.
Have you heard about the controversy, though?
Yeah, that they may be getting rid of Mushu.
Yes, he's not going to be a dragon. He's going to be a phoenix.
Yeah. So are you okay with that?
I was talking about the other controversy because it's, again, where it's taking the original, you know, ethnicity of the character and the whatever. And I guess Danny DeVito's playing Mulan and a lot of people.
Oh, jeez. Where are we going with this one?
Yeah, a lot of people just are not sure this is what they want.
I think that's perfect.
But short people have said that they don't have anybody that really, you know.
We're gonna stick with Danny DeVito as Wolverine, I think.
Okay. Yes.
And then we'll just
with
that.
Why can't he be both?
I want him as Pikachu. Yeah. Until next time, guys, stay nerdy.
Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.